Today's plot is Daf Yotes. We begin on the third line. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak said, "Kol ha-mesapa acha ha-meis, anyone that disparages a person who's dead, ki mesapa acha ha-even. It's as if he speaks about a stone. The dead person is totally unaffected by such speech. Ikad Amri, some explain, why is he unaffected? Because they anyway do not know what is said about them. Vikad Amri, and others say the Yadi, they actually do know what's said about them, but they don't really care. Continue to mar, any, is this true? Rapapa said, Chadishtoi Milsa Basreda Mashmul, someone once said something disparaging about Mashmul after he passed away. V'nofa Kanya Metlola, and a large heavy pole fell from the roof, Ubaza La Arnaka Demaychi, and split open the membrane encasing his brain. So we see that he, person was punished for speaking badly about Shmuel. Answers the Gemara, Shani Tzuvim Rabbanan, a Talmud Chacham, such a Shmuel is different, because the Hashem is demanding for his covet that somebody embarrassed him. But it has nothing to do with Shmuel. Continues the Gemara, Amr Bishu Ben Levi, if somebody speaks badly about the memory of a Talmud Chacham, he falls into Gehenim. Shenemar, Vamatem Akakaloisim, those who turn to perversiveness, Yerlichem Hashem, Espaliyavin, Hashem will drive them, the people who do such averis, to Gehenna. And the verse continues, Shalom Yisrael, it will be peace by Kla Yisrael. Afilu B'shosh Shalom Yisrael, even if this peace by Kla Yisrael, even if this Talmud Chacham who was spoken about is already resting in peace, he was Nifter, still, Yerlichem Hashem is Paliyavan, Hashem will drive away those that speak badly about a Talmud Chacham, will drive them into Gehenna. Tanad Be'er Shmuel, continues Rabbi Shmuel, Im Re'isa Talmud Chacham Sh'ova Aver B'Layla, if you see a Talmud Chacham does Aver by night, Al Tahara Akra B'Yoyim, you should not think badly about him by day that this person did Talmud Chacham. Why? Shem Asa Tshuva. For maybe he did Tshuva, maybe he repented, and therefore he's not a Baal Aveir anymore. Ask the Gemara, Shem Asa Kedaitach? Is it a maybe? Is it a question if he did Tshuva? Elevade Asa Tshuva. He certainly did Tshuva. V'hanim Yilu B'dvarim Shebegufay. But this only applies to personal matters. If somebody did a personal Aveir, he could have done Tshuva, and that's enough. Abba Moina, if it's regarding a monetary issue where he took money that didn't belong, or he didn't pay up money that he didn't belong, Ad Mahani Lamara, until you actually see him paying back the money that's owed, you cannot assume that it's the very has been taken care of. The clause of Rebbe and the Shas of Tshuva Stivra Yatsev extrapolates from this Gemara the main concept of Tshuva. Because here we're dealing with a situation where a person did an aver by night. And we say by the next morning he certainly did tshuva. But during that time he didn't have enough time to bring a carbon or to give tzedakah or one of the other possible things that are done as tshuva. So how could you know, how could the Gemara say that he certainly did tshuva? So we see from here that the main thing of tshuva is not the various acts of tshuva. It's the machshavas of tshuva, it's the charot, it's the regret for the avera, it's the kabbalah al haba, the accepting for the future that he will not do the avera again, and that certainly can be done overnight. Continues the Gemara. Farav Shum Alevi. The Esen Re'av Mekoymus, in 24 places, Bezdin Menadin Akvar Rav. Bezdin excommunicates someone for insulting the dignity of Torah. If somebody didn't treat his Rav, or Talmud Chacham, or Chazal, respectfully, he deserves to be excommunicated. The Kulon Shanina B'Mishnah Seinu. And all of them are mentioned in various Mishnahs throughout Shas. Amalei Rebbe Elazar, when Rebbe Elazar heard Rebbe Shua Ben Levi make the statement, Heicha, where are these 24 things mentioned? Amalei, so Rebbe Shua Ben Levi told him, V'chi Teshkach, go search for them, and you'll find them. Nofak Tak, he went and started reviewing Shas, the Ashkach Tfos, and he found three places where something is mentioned where people were put into Chayrim for not having the proper respect for the teacher. Somebody who belittles the requirement midrabbanan of Netilas Yadayim and washing your hands before eating. Somebody who speaks disparagingly about Talmid Chacham after they passed away. Someone who is chutzpahdik, someone who is not respectful towards Kafamal, towards Hashem. And this, Rashi explains, is under the category of not respecting a Rav, not respecting Chazal, because the respect that we have to have for Chazal derives from the respect that we have to have from Hashem. So the Gemara begins to speak about these things. Somebody who speaks after Talmid Chachamim badly after they passed away, Mahi. What does that mean? Where is the Mishnah that says that? Because he said he found the Mishnah. That none. It says in the Mishnah, Hu ayam aimer, Akavi ben Mahal, this is a Mishnah Masechta Idyos, that Akavi ben Mahal used to say. In the Torah, there is a parasha of Soita. A Soita is a woman who her husband accuses her of being unfaithful. And after going through a process of Kinui Vestira, her husband brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, where a parasha of the Torah is written on a cloth, on a parchment, which is then dissolved in water and sand, and that is then given to the Soita to drink. If she was unfaithful, she dies a horrible death. If she was not unfaithful, she's fine. Actually, she ends up being blessed. So the Mishnah says, the Eimashkin, we do not give the Soita water to drink, lo yisgiyaris, to somebody who is a giyaris, because the parasha Soita begins, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, which implies that it's only talking to somebody who is Jewish from birth, lo yisgiyaris, not to a freed Shifcha Kananis. The Chamayim Rimashkin, we do give them to drink. Vamalai, and they said, the Chazal said a story, Maisib Karkamis, there was a story with Karkamis, it's either the name of a person or it's the name of the city that the Shifcha Kananis came from, who was a Shifcha Meshuchas B'Shulayim, she was a freed Shifcha Kananis in Shulayim, Vishku Shmaya Vatalian. Shmaya Vatalian, who were the Nossi and the Abezdin in their generation, the generation before Hillel and Shammai, gave this Karkamis to drink this Soita water. And the Kavi Mahal said to them, Dugma Hushko. They gave her the Soita water because they were just like her. That's the way Rashi explains. Because Shmai Vaftalia were Gerim, they were descendants of Sancherev. So they, because they were Gerim, so they, Kavi and Vaftalia was accusing them. That's why they were so concerned about Gerim, and they did not want to treat a Giyaris differently than anybody else. Taisha says Dugma Shkur means that they did not actually give it a real Meisaita, and they did not erase a parasha of the Torah in which the Shem Hashem is written. They gave her water that looked like the Meisaita, just to scare her into saying the truth. From the Nidua, and Kavi Ben Ahal was put into Chayrim for speaking badly about Shmai Vaftalia. And he died, he was still in that situation of being excommunicated. The halach is that if somebody dies when he's in a situation that he's still in chayrim, they put a large stone on his coffin, and that's considered as the sokla bezdin asaroinai, as if bezdin stoned his coffin. The next thing we found that somebody is put into chayrim for not having the proper respect for Divrei Chazal is Hamazazim and Atil Shadayim. Somebody doesn't treat the rabbinic requirement of washing his hands before eating respectfully. Mahi, where is that Mishnah? That's not. Amar Yehuda, Chas v'Sholem, Akavi ben Hal Nisnada. It's God forbid to say that Akavi ben Hal was put into Chayim. She'ein Azara and the Nelus al Kaladim Yisrael, the doors of the Azara, of the temple courtyard, were not closed for anybody was greater b'chokhmah in wisdom, with tahara in purity, would be a schait, and he had a fear to do avera, like a kavi minahal. When would the doors of Dazara close? We know that in Erev Pesach, all of Klal Yisrael used to bring a carbon Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash. And they used to come in groups. As the Azara got filled up, and there was no more room for more people, they closed the doors, brought the carbon Pesach to the people who were in the Azara, finished the avoid of the carbon Pesach for those people, they left, and the next group came in. And he says, when the Azara was so full with all of Klal Yisrael, Akavi ben Mahal was the most choshva person there. Elas mi nidu. So who was put into Chayirim? It's Elizabeth Chanoch. It was Elizabeth Chanoch. She picked up Matil Sidayim. He questioned what Chazal said about washing hands before eating. Shemes, when he passed away, Shulch Bezdin sent Shlichim, Benichu Evan Gedoyle Al-Royna, they put a large stone on his coffin, Lelamdecha, to teach you, Shekala Meis Nader, if somebody is put into Chayrim, or Meis Meduyev, and he dies in that situation, Bezdin Cyclone Al-Royna, Bezdin stone his coffin by putting a large stone on it. The third thing we said was, Hamegis Datoy Klapimala, somebody who is does not speak respectfully towards Hashem. Mahi, what is that? Where is that Mishnah Tanan? There's a story in Masechta Tainus. The Gemara in Masechta Tainus speaks about the great Tzaddik Chayni Hamagel, who was asked to pray because there was a drought, no rain. He began to pray and nothing happened, no rain fell. So he drew a circle and stood in it and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, your children are asking me that it should rain, because I am like a member of your household. And therefore I swear by your great name that I will not move from here until you have mercy on your children. At that point, rain began to trickle. Chani then said, it's not for that kind of rain that I davened. I want rain that will fill the water holes, ditches, and caves. Then rain came down with a vengeance. Then Chani said, not for that rain that I davened. I davened for rain that will come down with a bracha. And then rain fell normally. Because of this episode, he's called Chayni Hamagel. Magel means a circle. So after this story, Shoch Lai Shem V'Shatach L'Chayni Hamagel. Shem V'Shatach sent the following message to Chayni Hamagel. Tzarchat Elasnadis. Really? You should be put into Chayrim. You should be excommunicated for your kind of behavior. Speaking to God this way, challenging God. The Mali, Chaniata, and actually had you not been the great Chani, because Rani Lechem Nidui, I would put you into Chayrim. Avamah Esa, what should I do? Shatim Schatul Fnei Makam. You behave with chutzpah, so to speak, in front of Hashem, Kibenshim Schatul Fnei Aviv, like a child who sometimes does not act respectfully to, in front of his parents. Voice return, and still the father does for his child what the child wants. For all of a curse of Omer, regarding a person like you, the pasuk says, Yismach avicha v'imecha, your father and mother are happy, the sogel yulatecha, those who had you will be glad that they had such a child. Ask the Gemara, v'sulecha, are there no other situations of where Chazal was strict about somebody who's mezalzel and divrei Chazal? Va'ikah, the Tanur Rabbi Yosef, the case that Rabbi Yosef taught, the case is like this. Titus of Shiromi, Titus of Rome, Hinnig is Bnei Rome, made a minig, made a custom for the Jewish people in Rome, Lechel Lachilom Gedoyim Mikolos V'Laila Psachim, that in remembrance of the Karban Pesach, they should eat a goat that was roasted on Pesach by night. Shalchlei Shirim HaShatach. So Shirim HaShatach sent him, and Molly Taidus Ata, if not that you were Taidus, because Rani Lechon Nidu, I would put you into Chayim. Shatamachas Yisrael Kachem Echutz. You are giving Klal Yisrael Kachem Karbonus outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Because this wasn't a carbon, and it was eaten looking like a carbon, because the carbon Pesach, that's the way the carbon Pesach was roasted. It was roasted as a whole animal on a fire, and that's the way it was eaten, and people will confuse and think that you're allowed to eat and bring the Karban Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that this is another case where they were makbid on the Kavod Chazal. And so the Gemara of Mishnah Senu Kaminan. We're talking about cases that are found in Mishnayis. In this story about the Gedi, Braisahi is a Braisa. And that is the halacha, that on Pesach by night, somebody should not eat a goat or a sheep that is completely roasted, even if it was roasted before Pesach, it should not be eaten on Pesach by night. There is a shaila about eating other roasted foods, meaning if it's not roasted whole, or it's roasted only in a pot, not over an open fire, or if it's roasted, if it's not goat or sheep meat, it's roasted in pots. Our minig is that we do not eat any roasted meat on Pesach by night. However, this is only regarding foods that require shechita, meat. But meat, but eggs or fish or other such items which are not meat, even though they're roasted, it is permissible to eat them Pesach by night. Ask the Gemara, Masnis and Leka, are there no other cases in Mishnayis that we have such instances about how they were makbir on the covet of Chazal? We have the following case. But we must say a introduction. The typical earthenware oven in the times of, in ancient times, looked like a large pot. Now, an earthenware utensil cannot be, if it becomes tamei, cannot be purified by putting into a mikveh or any other way. The only way it can become purified is by being broken. That's the only way to break it. In our case that we're talking about, there was an oven that became tamei. It was then sliced horizontally into rings. That's the way it was broken, demolished. And then they were cemented back together with sand. And that's where we begin. Chat chachoyos. If somebody cut this tamei earthenware oven into horizontal sections, v'nosen choyel ben choyel choyel, and then he put sand between the sections, that's the way he was going to cement them together. So we have machloikus, Rabbi Elazar matar. Rabbi Elazar holds that even after the oven is cemented back, it continues to be tar. Why? Because he holds that in order for it to be tamei, it has to be an earthenware keli. Here it's the sand that's keeping it together, so it does not have the status of an earthenware keli, of a kli cheres. It has the status of a kli adoma, which is not mekabel tuma. However, the chachamim matara, the chachamim say that it's tamei. Why do they hold it's tamei? Because since the sections are made out of kli cheres, it's considered a kli, it's considered still a kli cheres. There's a machloikis rishonim. According to the Chachamim who say it's Tamei, what does that mean? Does it mean it reverts back to the Tumah it had before it was broken? Or do they mean that it's now susceptible to Tumah, that if this earthenware, this new oven made out of horizontal rings put together by sand is touched by something, Tamei, it'll become Tamei. But not that it's Tamei from the previous Tumah. The Zat Tara Tanur Shachnoi. It was called the Tanur of a coiled serpent. So the Gemara questions, Maichnoi, why is it called a snake? Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Melamed Shekifu Halachas Kachnoi Zeh, Rabbi Elazar was surrounded by Tamid Cham like a snail, that, like a snake that encircles its victim. The Timu and they ruled that it was Tamei. The Tanya, and we learned in the Brayis, Oysa Yom Reviyu Kol HaTar Shatir Rabbi Elazar. That day they brought to the yeshiva all things that Rabbi Elazar had said were tar. The Sarf and the Firm, they burnt them. The Saif and Bechua. And ultimately they put them into Chayim. So we see a case in a Mishnah of somebody put into Chayim. And it says, Gemara, feel welcome, need them in Mesnis and Leitanan. The fact that it was put in the Chayim is not mentioned in the Mishnah. It was only mentioned in the Braisa. Ask the Gemara. We began earlier, Rabbi Shub and Levi said, that in 24 places we put a person to Chayim for acting towards Chazal without the proper respect. Where do we find the 24 places? answered the Gemara, Rishua ben Levi, Madame Milsa Milsa. Rishua ben Levi arrived to the number of 24 by counting any place that we find in the Mishnayos and Shas where one Tana argued strongly against the Chachamim, or where Tana spoke strongly against somebody who was greater than him. So even though the Mishnah may not explicitly say that they put him at the Chayrim, he says that's must have what happened. Rabbi Elazar, like Madam Muslim, Rabbi Elazar doesn't compare one place to another place. We can't make it up ourselves unless we actually see that that's what the Mishnah says happened. So now we go back to what we learned in the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, Noisa Mita, those carrying the bed, the Chlufayim, and those that replace them are, under certain circumstances, exempt from Kriyishma. Tana Rabbanan, so the Brisa says, Eim Etzinas Ames, Samachal Kriyishma. One should not take out a mess close to the time of Kriyishma. V'meschilu, but if they did take him out, Eimafsikim, they do not interrupt the burial to, they do not interrupt the burial to say Krishma. Asking my any, it's not really so. Rav Yosef of Kuva Samachu Krishma. Rav Yosef was taken out by the time of near the time of Krishma, and they did not wait to say Krishma first. And says the Gemara, Adam Chashvashani. Chashva person is different, and Chashva person, in respect to him, we do take him out even close to his man Krishma. There is a Shaila in the Rishonim, if this is only by Krishma Shashakris, or is it also by Krishma Shel Arvis? From the Mishnah Berurah says that it seems from the Shulchan Aruch that we're even saying this din even by Krishma Shel Arvis. But most Achronim are made by Arvis, what do you call it, Amekel by Marav, and take out the mace first, especially since there is an issa of Leisolin that one should not leave a mess overnight. We Mishnah continued, Shlifnei Amita v'Shlach Amita, both in regard to the people who are carrying the coffin, who are in front of the coffin, and those behind it. Tana Abonim, Ha'iskim b'Sespit, those who are occupied with listening to the eulogy on the mess. There's not a mess Matulfneim, when the dead person lies in front of them, Mishmatim Echad Echad, they should make them leave one by one to say the Shema. Ein Mes Matulfanam, but if the mace is not in front of them, Hein Yoshim V'Kairim, they should sit and say the Shema, V'Hu Yoshvidam, but the Oinen, the person who lost the Nifter, who we explained many times is not allowed to say Kriyishma, should sit quietly. Heimaydim Mispalim, they get up and daven, V'u'aymid Amastak Levesadin, and he stands up and acknowledges the righteousness of Hashem. V'aymer, V'aymer Allah, Hashem, Habi Chatos Lefnech, I sin in front of you, V'lefnefrat mini Echem mini Elef, and you have not taken from me 1,000 of what I deserve. Yerotzim Lefnech Hashem, okay, maybe your will Hashem, should take the parts of Seinu, you should seal our breaches, or first as Kalam Chabes Yisrael, and the breaches of all of Kalam Yisrael, Barachmim, with great mercy. However, we learned that they should never say Shema in the same room as the Nifter, because of Loig Lerash. There is a Shaila, the Machlokes Rishonim, if this rule that they walk out of the room where the mace is there, do they go out only for Krishma, or if they also go out for Tefillah? Amar Abaya, Lebay Lememel in Shehachi. A person should not say the Nusach of Tzidduk HaDin that we just explained. Damer of Shimon Lakish. A person should never give the Satan an opening. Bam Rabbi Yosef, my crow, where do we find this in the Torah? Shenema. The Pasuk says, the Klai Yisrael says, Kamat K'stoim Hayinu. If we were like Stoim, and my, night Stoim, not actually Stoim, who we remember from the Torah were terrible, were showing.
Mahadu Navi, and what does the Navi say back to them? Shimu Dvar Hashem, listen to Hashem's words, Kitsini Sodom, the officers of Sodom. Once they call themselves that they were like Sodom, they actually called Sodom. We continue, the Mishnah covers the mess when the mess was buried, the Chazru, and they're coming back, and we learned it depends if they are close to mourners, if they have enough time to Shema, then they say it, if not, not. The Gemara asks the question. If they can begin the entire Kriya Shema in, then they should say it. If they only have enough time to say one part of the Shema, then they shouldn't. For Minu, I will ask a question from a Braisa. The Braisa says, covers the mess for Chazru after having buried the mess, and they're coming back. If they can begin and finish the Shema, I feel a paragraph or a pasuk echad. Even if it's only one paragraph or even one pasuk, they should do it. And it's the Gemara Hachinami Kama. The Gemara resolves it this way. If they could, that's what our Mishnah is actually saying. If they could begin and complete a fila paragach or a fila pasuk, one parak or one pasuk, actually Gilshur, before they come to the row, Yaschilu, they should them lav, and if not, lo Yaschilu, they should not start. We learned Haim the Meshura, actually those standing in the row, so it depends like this. The inner ones who are near the Avelim of Potter. The other ones are not. Tanar Bonin, Shura Roy Pnima Ptura, which means the row that's closest to the Avelim and a row right behind it who see those people are both Potter from saying Krishma. V'she'en Roy Pnima, and if it doesn't see the inside row, that means not the first two row, Chayavis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda continues, Haboy Machmas Sa'avel, those who come and encounter the mourners, Pturim, are part of from saying the Shema, Machmas Asma, if they come because of themselves, there's Chayavim. So Rabbeinu Yoina brings the Machlaikis, and Rabbi Yehuda is going on the first case, that he's saying that the first two rows are not Potter, so on that he's saying, it depends why they came. If they came because of the Avel, then the Potter, but if they came for themselves, the Chayiv. Or is he going on the second case, and he's saying that the back rows are Chayiv, and he's saying, when are the back rows Chayiv? If they came because of themselves, but if they came because of the Avel, even though they're in the back row, they are Potter. The Rebbeinu Yonah also brings out another Machloikis, who was considered coming because of the Avel. Some say it's only his family and his relatives, and others say if anybody who came to console the Avel, even if it's not a close relative, is considered by Machmas Avel. Only person that's considered not by Machmas Avel is just somebody who's coming out of curiosity to see what's going on. Amar Yehuda Marav, Hamoitza Klima Bigdoi. We know that there is a prohibition to wear a garment that has a mixture of wool and linen. If somebody discovers that the beged he's wearing does have an itchatness, poshtan afil b'shuk, he should remove the garment, even though it's very embarrassing, even in the street. My tama, what's the reason? Because the pasuk says there's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against Hashem. Hashem doesn't want us to wear klayim, so we have to take it off even in the street. Wherever there's a desecration of Hashem's name, we do not give any kavod, and we just do what we have to do. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, we learned, kavod sames, if the bed was buried, b'chazru, ulfneim shtei drachim. And they have two rows in front of them how to return from the funeral. Achas tahira, one road is a road that's tall, that's pure. V'achmei, one road is a tamei. Babatara, if the oval goes on the tar of the road, so everybody should go along with him on that road. Baba Tamei, if he goes on the road, that's Tamei, they should go along with him on the Tamei road, Mishum Kvoidoi, out of respect to the Ovel. Now, here it seems to be saying that this halacha always applies, even if the people going along with the Munar Kahanim, who are not allowed to go on the Tamei road, Amai, but how could we let a Kohen walk in such a road? Lema, shouldn't we say, and where Hashem says, you know how to do something, we do not start giving honor to people. Answers the Gemara, Tigma Rav Abba, Beis HaPras Rabbonim. The Baba said that this case is talking about a Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras is a field that contained a grave which had been plowed over. Because the grave has been plowed over, really there is no tumah, but there is a concern that fragments of bone may have scattered over the field and therefore still continue to give tumah. Now, midaraisa, the possibility of this happening is discounted, because it's most likely that the plow dug deeply enough into the ground that nothing happened, or that it was completely destroyed. However, Rabbanon said this tumah. So since it's only tumah de Rabbanon, in honor of the Ovel, we let the Kohen walk with him on this road. Dama Yehuda Mishmul, as Yehuda Mishmul said, Menapach Adam Beis HaPras, a person could blow walking on the ground of a Beis HaPras to make sure that there's no bones, and remain tall. If you have a Beis HaPras that was completely trampled upon by many people, also tall. Again, because then we could assume that the bone fragments that were there were completely crushed under the feet of the people walking by. So again, since we're dealing with only the Rabbanon, that's why we're more lenient. Tashma. Dom Rebbe Elizabeth Tzadik. Medagan Hayin Al Gaba Ronish HaMesim. Rebbe Elizabeth Tzadik was a Kohen. And he says, we used to climb over coffins of dead people, L'Kras Melech Yisrael, in order to greet kings of Klal Yisrael. And this halacha that you can jump over the coffins of king coffins to greet is not only to greet Jewish kings, even to greet non-Jewish kings. Shemiska, why? Because we will merit to see Mashiach. Yafchan will be able to tell the difference between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yisrael, the great honor that will be accorded to Jewish king. Amai. But how could we allow a Kohen to go over a grave, over a coffin, and be metam himself? Lema, shouldn't we say, Ein choch vein tfun vein netzel neged Hashem? There's nothing connected Hashem, and a Kohen's not allowed to be metam himself. It's the Gemara to the Rav. Dama Rav, Devat Torah. Midarais oil. Kol shesh by chalal tafach, chaytis mnei tumah. As long as there is a space of a tefach between the mace and the top of the coffin, the tumah does not go above the coffin. But if there is no space of a tefach between the mace and the top of the coffin, the tumah of the coffin goes all the way up. And most coffins, yesh ben chalal tefach, do have that space. And therefore, midaraisa, jumping over a coffin, since it presumably has that tefach space, is not a tumah deraisa. However, the gozal sheyesh behen, Chazal, the Rabbanim made a gzeira, even on the coffins that do have that space of a tefach between the nifter and the top of the aron, mishum shein behen, because of the coffins that don't have it. And therefore, mishum kvoy malachim, in a case where we're talking about giving honor to kings, and we could say that if there's a space between the nifter and the top of the coffin, there's no tumah. Toshmap continues the Gemara. Gadol kfar abriyos, human dignity is so great that it supersedes a negative command in Torah. We'll speak about which one in a moment. The might, but how could it even be that way? Shouldn't we say, if Hashem said something is prohibited, it should make a difference under what circumstances? Answers the Gemara. Tergmer Rabba Shvok Meid Rav Kahana, Balav de Loisosa. The Torah says, Loisosa ben Adover Ashegil Chayom Nasmo, that we may not deviate for anything that our sages tell us to the right or to the left. This is the basis for all the Rabbonins. How the Rabbonins make rules that we should or shouldn't do, even though it doesn't say in the Torah. achikul, and that is the lav that one could supersede when it comes to human dignity. Achikul, the lav for him, lav loisosu, is this lav of loisosu the raisahi, is that a deraisa? It's not biblical. All these rules are only rabbinic. A great person said something, do not laugh at him. Everything the Chazal said, they based on the love of Leisasa. And that is the basis for everything they do. Just because we're dealing with the human dignity, Chazal said it's mutum. Toshma. The pasuk says, you should not see the acts of your brother or a sheep wandering, and hide from them. You should return them. How, now, the Gemara dashens, we explained it, you should not hide. The Gemara says, sometimes a person may hide from returning something that's lost. And many times you should not. If somebody finds something lost in a cemetery, and the finder is a kohen who may not enter a cemetery, he should not pick it up. Or, if it's a zakim v'enel fi kvoidei, if the finder was an elderly or very respected person, and it's below his dignity to pick up the lost item to return it, the person who finds the item has a very high-paying job, a very lucrative business, and the time spent on returning the object is more valuable than the actual object. For those cases, the Torah says you should hide yourself, you don't have to return it. But the Gemara asks, Amai, Leimo, and Chachma, and Tun, and Netzel, and Hashem, if Hashem says we have to return it, how can we not return it? And so the Gemara, Shani Hasam, you can't ask the question, because the Torah explicitly tells us, the Ksivas Latamem, that you may hide. No, the Torah is giving us permission. It's not that we're going against what the Torah says. Ask the Gemara of Eligumene, so let's derive from here that human dignity indeed overrides even Torah prohibitions, not only the Rabbanim, as we've been saying. And so the Gemara is Isur Mimana Lo Yapina. We can't learn laws regarding Torah prohibitions from laws regarding monetary matters. Here we're only talking about monetary. So it could be human dignity overrides monetary issues, but doesn't necessarily override prohibitions. Tashma, Lachoisim Al Talmudim. In the Torah, there's a parasha of a nazir. A nazir is a person who accepts upon himself a certain vow. One of the things that he is not allowed to do, he's not allowed to become tamei. And the pasuk says, "A nefesh meis layovai." He may not come close to that person. But the pasuk continues, "Lo'aviv le'imayit," his father, his mother, "lo'achiv le'chaisai," his brother and sister, "le'itamam b'maisai." He may not defile himself. He can't become tamei when they die. Now, this pasuk is seemingly superfluous. The pasuk began, al nefesh meis lo yavoi, that he may not become tamei. Why does the pasuk have to enumerate lo'aviv le'imoi lo'achiv le'chaisai? So the Sefri, which is quoted both by Rashi and Tosfos, explains. From lo'aviv, from his father, we learn that it only applies to his father's corpse. It does not apply to a meis mitzvah. A meis mitzvah is somebody who is an unintended corpse, nobody to take care of. Him, a nazir may become tamei too. Le'imai comes to teach us that even if the nazir is a kohen, so he has two levels of why not to become tamei, because he's a nazir and because he's a kohen, still to a meis mitzvah he may become tamei. Le'achiv comes to teach us that even if the nazir is a kohen gadol, so we make him extremely holy, a kohen gadol can't become tamei to any relative, still to a meis mitzvah he may become tamei. And the beginning, now the Gemara is up to, and what about lachoisai? Explains the Gemara. If somebody was going to slaughter his Korban Pesach, or he's going to make a bris milah for his son, and he heard that a close relative passed away, I would think he should become tamei. He should allow to become tamei. Amrit loy tamei. He should not continue. He should continue in his way and be, not be matam himself. Yochel kishen she matam lahem. So I was saying, just like he's not matam to them, kach ein matam lames mitzvah. He should, if he finds a mate's mitzvah, he should also not become tamei under these circumstances. If he's going to bring a korban pesach or do meal for his son, tamloim lachoisai. For that, the pasuk teaches us lachoisai. Lachoisai udein matama. It's for his sister, not for anybody else. Continues Gemara. I'm matama lames mitzvah. Am I? But why should be allowed to be matama himself? How could he leima in chokma in tzuma in etzin nagashem, and he should not be allowed to matam himself? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam. There it's different. Tiksiv lachoisai, because the Torah explicitly says his sister. The Torah itself tells us that other mitzvahs could be set aside for the sake of taking care of a meis mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, V'ligma mina. Why don't we use this as a model to learn from it that human dignity overrides even deraisis? Answers the Gemara, Sheva taisa shani. To merely sit by and refrain from reforming a mitzvah is different than actively being over an avera. The Torah indeed allows somebody to not do a mitzvah, like a Pesach or Mila, when human dignity is involved, such as in our case. But one can't actively do an avera, even for the sake of human dignity. What's actively doing an avera? Like where began the sugya of wearing a garment of shatness. Now, the question obviously is that if so, how could a nazir or a kohen gadol actively be metamed themselves to a meis mitzvah? It's not sheva taisa, it's konvasei. They're actually being metamed themselves. So Rashi answers that that is exactly what the Torah is teaching us. The Torah is teaching us that the Isser for a Kohen to be Matam himself, or the Isser for another to Matam himself, was never said in the situation of a Meis Mitzvah. That's Rashi's Pshat. Tosfos finds difficulty with Rashi's Pshat, and Tosfos therefore says that you can't learn from a Nazir, because a Nazir is a man-made Isser. It comes through a vow, which a vow, we know, under certain circumstances, by going to Talmud Chacham, could be annulled. And a Kohen also is not the same level of Isser, because it's only an Isser that applies to Kahanim. It's not an Isser that applies to everybody else. So therefore, Nazir and Kohen are differently, and there, in a situation of human dignity, it could override Isser in the Torah. But when we're dealing with an Isser of the Torah that applies to everybody equally, and it's a situation of Kumbasei, of actually actively prohibit doing a prohibition, human dignity do not override Isser in the Torah.